Welcome to Longevity. I'm your host, Natalie Nittam. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology and ancestral health practices to personalized interventions and a very special interest of mine, peptides and bioregulators. Enjoy the show. Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. Today, we talk about a really important topic. We talk about the air that we breathe. When we're talking about foundational steps that we can take to positively affect our health, I don't know that you can get much more foundational than the air that we breathe. And so that's what this episode is about. But before we get there, of course, we have a little housekeeping to do. Number one, I need to thank you for being here again and for all of your comments, questions, reviews, all the things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's how we get found and that's how we reach more people. So I totally appreciate you guys. And I also would like to extend an invitation to you to join, to sign up for my newsletter. If you do that, you get a 7-email series on the foundational things that you can do to prepare your body for more advanced biohacking, longevity practices, whatever you want to call them. Took me a long time to pull this together. I'm really proud of it. I hope that if you don't get the newsletter yet, that you sign up for it and that you let me know what you think about it. And once that series is delivered, and actually even maybe while it's delivered, you'll get our regularly scheduled newsletters. And those come out on Sunday mornings. And then also maybe once or occasionally twice a week, you might get another one. But the one that is religiously for sure is the Sunday morning one. So definitely check it out. And I hope that you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. All right, let's thank our sponsors and jump into this episode. So look, as a person who deeply values health and well-being, as you know, I'm super excited to share that I've recently been bringing Chromalux light bulbs into my home. Recorded a podcast with them, I think a couple of years ago now, and they kind of circled back and we got to talking, and honestly, they make a massive difference. And so I'm putting these bulbs in my bedroom, in my office, I'm putting them in my son's room, and I'm also going to put them in my basement close to my sauna. So here's the thing. Unlike ordinary, harsh, and honestly uninspiring, not to mention unhealthy light bulbs, the Chromalux full spectrum lamp creates a soothing yet vibrant interior space that you will totally want to live, work, and play in. The light of Chromalux is equal parts healthful and beautiful, and it's as nourishing and colorfully pure as sunlight. So what they do is they use this special neodymium glass that purifies light and creates better contrast and definition between colors, tones, and textures. And 6RI is overly sensitive to that yellow-green color range and less so to the red and blue. This unique filtering dulls yellowing components, purifying your environment. They also have very little blue light and are naturally low in flicker. You'll notice the regenerative feeling of the sun beaming down on you without the harmful rays, and you'll see better too, due to the light bulb's ability to reduce the strain on your eyes. So they've been a top recommendation for the low vision population since the 1980s and have been shown to enhance visual acuity. So prioritizing my health and investing in Chromalux lighting, I know that I'm creating a space that supports my overall well-being. So if you're looking to transform your living space, and I would suggest you go at this one room at a time. Start with the spaces that you spend the most time in and then move from there. And experience the benefits of full spectrum lighting, I highly recommend giving Chromalux a try. Your eyes and your nervous system will thank you. So to get your Chromalux bulbs, go to healthlighting.com and use promo code longevity to save 10%. All right. How much do you know about what you're breathing in inside your sanctuary, inside your home? In this episode of the Longevity Podcast, I'm joined by ex-firefighter and air quality expert Mike Feldstein to discuss this really crucial part of health. The air inside our homes can be up to, get this, 5 times more polluted than outdoor air. Can you even believe that? I mean, when he said that, I almost fell off my chair. We discuss how indoor pollution impacts health, the misconceptions surrounding mold remediation that just keeps coming up over and over again, as well as tips on mitigating indoor air pollution. We also discuss common misconceptions about air purifiers and how to choose an effective air purifier, whether it's a Jasper or not. We are going to talk about the Jasper air purifier today and tips for improving air quality in your home. I mean, Mike is so passionate about this topic, guys. He made sure to provide a lot of free information and free tips in this episode. So Mike is the founder and CEO of Jasper, an air science and technology company. Jasper is the culmination of Mike's diverse background in air quality, disaster restoration, and entrepreneurship, and it is his mission to protect air quality and improve human health through innovative products and education. Now, if you decide that you are going to invest in a Jasper, you want to do it now, because get this, this episode drops on August 23rd. From August 23rd to the 31st, you can use code NAT for 20% off Jasper air purifiers. So that's 20%. And after August 31st, that code, NAT, will remain active, but it'll only give you 10% off. So definitely, if you're even thinking about this, definitely move on it now. And or the other thing you could do is they give volume discounts. So let's say your next door neighbor wants to get one. Guess what? The two of you can pool and you can stack that discount code on top of the volume discount. So I will leave it at that. Let's talk about our next sponsor, who is new to this podcast. So in today's fast-paced, digitally driven world, our bodies are, for good reason, often struggling to cope with an onslaught of daily stressor, constant digital stimulation, environmental toxins lurking in our food, water, as we'll learn in this podcast, even the air we breathe, artificial light exposure that you learned above, all contribute to chronic inflammation, insomnia, lack of focus, and ultimately poor recovery. That being said, there is a natural solution that can help us reclaim our balance, and that is, straight from nature, CBD. CBD works with your body's own endocannabinoid system. I mean, it can't be more natural than that. We have an endocannabinoid system in our body to respond to those CBD. So that endocannabinoid system promotes relaxation and stress relief, improves sleep quality, can enhance focus and clarity, and support faster recovery. Now, I personally love Element Health's full-spectrum CBD products, and here's why. Their true full-spectrum products contain a complete range of beneficial compounds with CBD as the star player, and they have a lot of products that have absolutely no THC in them. So this is just about those endocannabinoids, guys. They offer several options, so it's easy to customize to what I personally need. The oil is great as a daily tonic. Topical applications can really help with pain relief and inflammation. The soft gels are convenient and the gummies can be extra potent. Now, whether I need a light boost for daytime or stronger support for evening relaxation, Element Health offers a great solution. And I want you to know that the reason why I picked these guys is that every single batch is rigorously third-party tested for purity and potency, ensuring you get a clean, high-quality product every single time. So by incorporating Element Health CBD into your daily routine, you're not just treating symptoms, you're addressing the root causes of stress and imbalance in your life. To check them out, you can go to elementhealthsupply.com. Make sure to use code NAT15 to save on your purchase. All right, now let's jump into this episode. Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider. Mike Feldstein, welcome to the show. It is a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Nat. Happy to be here. Long time coming.
Long time coming. I mean, for like a little nanosecond, we thought that we might do it in person. And I was hugely relieved when we didn't, because if there's one thing I'm super challenged at, it's in-person recordings.
Well, hopefully next time we do it in person, we can challenge that feeling.
That story.
Fear. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to be one of those things I'm going to have to figure out one of these days. But in the meantime, although you didn't make it over, your brother made it over. I don't usually get house calls from people related to podcasts. So you sent your intrepid brother over with a meter and all kinds of stuff. And we did some testing on my Jasper, which was super interesting.
So Justin is my brother from another mother. And we've worked together for about 8 years. So Justin
Not your brother. He's your sort of brother. He's your surrogate brother. I thought he was your brother. Yeah, oh my God.
We kind of look the same.
We can both
talk a lot about air.
There you go.
He knows his air. He's my air brother.
Okay.
So yeah, we've known each other for about eight years. We've worked together. He ran Air Quality Canada, which is a company we ran together in Toronto that did air quality testing and consulting. So if you were sick at home and you didn't know why, me and Justin would go to your house, test your house top to bottom for mold, asbestos, lead, bacteria, VOCs, air quality in general. It would usually be people who would go on a trip, feel they'd be like chronically not well, but not really realize it. They'd be going to the doctor and trying pills and allergy shots and everything and not getting any better. And then go like camping or on a trip somewhere where they'd be outside in nature. And then they'd be like, I think I'm better. And then they go back home and then they're like sick again. And then that question comes up, is my home making me sick? And we were the ones to help dive deep into, is your home making you sick? Which is actually kind of what led to Jasper. So Justin, who's on the Jasper team and runs our operation, like we don't have a sales department or a customer service department. We just have an air department. So if people ask questions about mold, we have conversations similar to the one we'll have today on the podcast with customers all the time. So Justin didn't tell me much about the visit to your home, but I knew because we were recording the podcast, we had to get a Jasper to your home and we wanted to do some air testing and demoing so you would increase your air awareness and air education and just prepare both of us better for this. So how did that go?
Well, it was really interesting. I mean, for a minute, you know, I kept bringing out different products that that I use. And for a minute, Justin was like, I think your Jasper's super zen. Like, what have you been feeding it? And what we realized, because he eventually, I finally found, dug something up that I know, you know, that somebody brought into my house without my approval. And we were able to set off Jasper. But what we figured out is that the cleaning products that I have mandated get used in my house are shockingly clean, which was really exciting. Having said that, I was assuring Justin, oh no, my Jasper gets plenty motivated at different times, but it's not generally from the products that I use.
Cooking?
It's cooking. Cooking. Yeah. So, you know, we were talking about this before we started the podcast. I said, I don't think Jasper likes my cooking. And you're like, no, Jasper loves your cooking. You're feeding Jasper feels useful and productive when I cook. And so maybe, you know, is cooking.
So that's a good place to start. It's a great place to start because, you know,
what is it about my cooking?
whenever people think about pollution, you just what visual do you have when you hear the word pollution?
Yeah. Like black smoke coming
stacks,
out of
factories.
And, yeah.
All cars, that stuff. But we think about pollution as an outdoor thing. But we spend 95% of our time indoors and there, I like to just set the table by explaining pollution. There's indoor pollution and there's outdoor pollution, and outdoor pollution, they kind of can intersect a little bit. So outdoor pollution is mold, allergens, pollen, the tar, you know, the rubber from the tires of your car, factories, smokestack. I call it anything that originates outside of your house. Now, someone else's indoor pollution can become outdoor pollution, which can then become your indoor pollution. So let's say I've seen a lot of people's homes where they're doing all the things right. They're using the low tox products, but let's say five doors down and across the street, they're using bounce sheets in the dryer and that vents directly outside, and their house, based on the way that the wind is blowing the currents, makes their house smell like bounce sheets. So that's where like indoor and outdoor can kind of overlap a little bit. And then indoor air pollution, which is the thing that we'll talk most about today, is also mold, because mold can originates. It's omnipresent everywhere, but it can also be excessively high in a tightly sealed home with excessive humidity. VOCs from off-gassing in your home, furnitures, paints, all that kind of stuff. Cleaning products, personal care products. Pets, dogs, cats, rabbits, birds, very, very polluting indoor. And then cooking is the biggest. Cooking is by far the number one pollutant in the indoor environment, and it's not even close. So cooking is usually the thing that would set off a Jasper. And what Jasper is detecting is something called PM2.5, which is particulate matter 2.5 microns in size and smaller, which means it's small enough to enter your lungs and your bloodstream. And that means it's the particle size that when you look at like air quality and stuff, they talk about AQI sometimes, but PM2.5 is the most commonly reported particulate size because it's the most harmful one because it's small enough to enter the lungs and the bloodstream where a larger particle would get filtered out and not enter you.
Right.
So cooking is something that, I mean, if you think about it, when did indoors even get invented in the first place? Like we used to just all live outside and outside wasn't even a word. It's just where we were. And in the last couple hundred years, we started building these very tight sealed boxes that we call homes where we trap everything inside. So, I mean, it's the best way, I guess, to control temperature and humidity and make sure it's not too hot and not too cold. But the byproduct of that is a home that traps in mold, traps in VOCs, traps in chemicals, and everything gets stuck inside and the home doesn't breathe very good. So with cooking, you have high heat and you have proteins typically. But basically, when you're cooking with extreme heat, it's like, why do you smell stuff when you're cooking? Because when you add heat, you're aerosolizing. So you have PM2.5, of course, that's why Jasper goes crazy. You have something called polysilic aromatic hydrocarbons, which is the same thing that we actually would test for when we were restoring homes after wildfire smoke. So it's not the food. You know, you could have the healthiest, most natural oils. You could use beef tallow with high quality steak and Jasper will still go crazy. Yeah. And that's because it's not just the food and it's not just the beef tallow or the butter or the olive oil or the avocado oil. It's the byproducts because of the heat. And then also, when you eat food, the food goes into your digestive system, which is well equipped to break everything down and let you digest it and get the nutrients out and filter it out appropriately. But when you breathe all those particulates in, they go into your respiratory system, which irritates everything and causes inflammation, which is why you can eat certain things that you can't necessarily breathe.
Interesting. Well, you know, when you notice that, I find is extremely spicy things. Like certain hot peppers.
Good point.
Will really irritate your nasal. It'll irritate your airway quite dramatically. And I would think, like, especially if you more like if you've cut it, not if it's whole, obviously.
Right.
But when you cut it, there must be a release.
Yes.
Of the spice. I mean, whatever the compound is in peppers that makes them super hot. And you will, that can actually be really very irritating to your airways. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but even get across the skin. I once was chopping up jalapeno peppers, and this was way back when I was first learning how to cook, and I made the mistake of doing it in bare hands. And I spent that whole night awake feeling like I'd had like second degree burns on my fingers. Damn. Like it was really, it's quite intense. So it's pretty powerful stuff. But so when Jasper, So what you're saying is when we're cooking, is it the oil or is it just, or is it chemical reactions between the food and the oil
and the heat
that actually creates like a new
something? Yeah, that's where there's PAH, sulfur dioxide, NO2, the CO from a carbon monoxide gas stove. That's getting put into the air a lot. So, yeah, at high heat with food, you get a lot more. That's like why you can have a fire in a kitchen. You can get a protein fire from high heat. It can literally combust. And that's why you smell food way more when it's cooking, just because everything's getting aerosolized, just similar to like water being evaporated or boiled or whatever. So, yeah, Justin mentioned that when he was in. So when we go to most people's homes, Jasper goes crazy for a lot of people when they're cooking, but also when they're cleaning, when they shower, when they use hairspray. And Jasper, Justin was like, this is crazy. Like, at first he thought your Jasper was broken, yeah, but then he realized, like, no, you just have really, you know, as good as an air purifier is or water filtration or anything else you can do, the best thing you can do is mitigate at the source level by just bringing better stuff into your house. So it's good. And I'll make sure we'll talk through a bunch of tips. Forget about buying stuff. The stuff that people can do like right now today for free to get big air wins immediately. You know, it's nice to have super air filters in your home. But what's even better is the stuff that we can do like right now. Yeah. But Justin mentioned that the products in your home weren't really setting it off. So what products were you using?
I'm trying to think of what I just tend to use really, like I just tend to go towards the product. And it's funny because I just tend to go towards the natural products or products with essential oils, that kind of stuff. But basically, it's been a real battle between me and the angelic woman who comes to my house and cleans it once a week. Like, let me be clear. I worship this woman. But the only point of friction that we have is cleaning products because she loves bleach. And I'm like, that stuff's not coming into my house. So we've had discussions about cleaning products. And every once in a while, I'll find something tucked away in a corner that she kind of snuck in. But it is remarkable to me how little you need in terms of harsh chemicals to clean. Like, you know, like they've even created products now. There's cleaner that you can get that's vinegar based. I mean, really, you could just use vinegar and water and clean a lot of things. Like a bottle of vinegar, baking soda, water. If you want it to smell really good, you can use some of those Five Thieves essential oils or something like that. Or neem is another essential oil that's very, it's pretty strong actually. You don't use much of it. These are all things that'll do a really good job cleaning.
When I got certified, so, you know, before I was in creating Jasper and I was in air quality consulting, but also restoration. When I got certified in mold restoration, what they actually taught us to clean mold was soap and water. Not bleach. There's a huge misconception that you should use bleach. And it's an interesting one because theoretically bleach does kill mold, but what it also does is disturb the mold. So if mold is dormant on a wall, drywall, under a sink, in a toilet reservoir or whatever, and you add bleach, mold's really good at surviving and it's really good at replicating. So when that mold feels threatened by a chemical agent like bleach, the mycotoxins get airborne and get released. So not only does that now impact your breathing way more, but now those mycotoxins are going to go find another organic material to start continuing their growth. So it's like unless of course you build a whole containment barrier and an air scrubber, like restoration style, but you try to kill it. But as soon as the mold detects it, it's aerosolizing by way of mycotoxins. Little mold babies.
Yeah, no, mold is like I've decided as the more I've learned about mold, the more you realize that it's actually I think of it as a very ancient organism that's adapted to survive. And you find mold in almost every environment. Like we worry about humidity, but it turns out apparently there's even mold in places like Arizona.
I'm
where
so
it's
glad
super
you went
dry.
There because I'm going to Arizona at the last week of September.
Yeah.
And I was talking to someone yesterday and they were like, it's great that this health and wellness event is in Arizona because in the past it was in Florida or California and it was super moldy and now we'll be in Arizona and there's no mold. I go, wait a second. I've actually seen more people with mold toxicity in Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale than anywhere else. Wow. And the reason is you won't see mold growing in your home. You won't see the black mold growing because the humidity level's low, but a guy named Ryan Blazer from Test My Home, me and him I accompanied him and we tested a bunch of homes together in the Phoenix to Scottsdale area. And he works with a lot of naturopaths in that area who specialize in mold toxicity. And the homeowner, she knows a few days before there's a windstorm because she can feel it in her body. She's incredibly environmentally sensitive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, when they get their urine and their blood testing to test for mold and mycotoxins, they find the same species of mold in their blood and urine that they do in the dust. Because all that desert sand and dust used to be underwater. So there's a ton of mold from, like you said, ancient mold that, that's a good term, ancient mold, from way back thousands and thousands or millions of years ago. So when that, when they get those dust storms and those wind storms, that dust gets in their home. And because they're not normally, they're not used to breathing it, when they get a big flash event, they have no antibodies would be the wrong word, but they don't have immunity because they've had no exposure. So they get these big mold bombs dropped on them when there's these dust storms. And then after, they get so environmentally sensitive that they can't handle anything anymore.
No kidding. And so when the mold, when you get that, that mold that's been essentially dormant because it's almost been dehydrated, when it comes into a home, the home naturally is going to be more, there's going to be more moisture in that home than there is in the desert. Does that reactivate the mold in a sense? Do you think? Because I would also think that the other way you'd get mold in those environments is just from air conditioning, because air conditioning units are notorious for.
And a lot of those folks have humidifiers as well. Mm-hmm. And if anyone out there lives in a dry place and they're installing a humidifier, those cheap $200-$400 humidifiers that the HVAC guy sells you is not the one you want. You want the one that's more like $1,500 to $2,000, because the cheap ones is a 90% of people who have a humidifier in their furnace. It's this little wick. It's this little wick and a little water runs through it. And then this little fan blows on the wick. I've never opened one up that wasn't encased in mold. It's literally the perfect environment for mold. Now, the steam-based ones are much, much better because it actually boils the water. But then again, do you have a whole home water filtration system? Because if you don't, if you're not using a filtered water, then you're taking city tap water and you're just aerosolizing that throughout your whole home and you're creating a new problem too. So yeah, the HVAC systems, the air conditioning, the humidifiers can definitely contribute to it. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I imagine that mold is excited. It's like, hey, I've been outside dehydrated for thousands of years. Let's go. I'm in this house. There's a humidifier here. They're cooking all the time. There's incredible food sources here. There's humans, has hosts. So this is great.
Yeah, rock and roll.
So yeah, my background, what actually even led me to get into Jasper, you know, I was doing a lot of wildfire restoration. We should talk about that after, because I'm actually going to, this is, we're in August and the episode's coming out really soon. And Jasper, Alberta is a huge situation right now. But when I used to be the guy who would go to someone's house and remediate it of mold. And I'm so happy to be on the other side, because there was a couple terms that I really didn't resonate with at all that were very commonplace in the mold industry. One of them is mold is gold. And the other one was the mold rush. So the mold, the mold rush and mold is gold. Because a lot of things have come from this. So, and a lot of people are really trying to do their best, you know, with so many things, everyone's like the system's out to get you and it's all corrupt, blah, blah, blah. I really don't think the mold rush comes from a bad place. But what happened is, I mean, there's always a few bad players, but really, I think the road in this case, I think the road to hell was paved with good intentions. And I think that's true with most home construction stuff, but it's, it hasn't led us in a good place at all, because what happens is, like naturopaths, for example, they're all kind of trying to learn about mold because a lot of people are having mold sicknesses and mold awareness is increasing. So they're all, I mean, they're treating patients. They're doing courses all the time. So they go and take a mold course and then they go and start giving their patients ERMI tests or blood and urine samples. Most in-home mold tests are either designed for false positives or false negatives. So if I want someone's house to fail a mold test, I'll use an ERMI for sure. Basically 100%, the ultimate combination, give them like a urine or a blood test for mycotoxins in their blood. Everybody has some level of heavy metals in mold. We're humans. We have allergens. Yeah. We got that stuff in us. Nobody,
but it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Yeah. And then if we also go and use an ERMI test at your house, not to say the ERMI test is bad or ineffective, but it's more alarmist in nature. critical big red things. And the way ERMI works is often when you want to test air, you test the dust, because dust is an air problem and dust is an indoor problem. You don't go outside and find dust on the lawn or on the sidewalk. Dust happens inside, and the dust does not grow from your table. It comes from the air. It's not emerging, you know, from the surface. So the way ERMI works is you take a dust sample, and sometimes they even take it from the furnace filter or a few places around the home. Well, mold's everywhere. When we would do an airborne mold test, we test the indoor air, and we actually do a mold sample outside at the same time. That's called your control sample, because you want to see, is the mold level higher indoor or outdoor? So oftentimes you'll do a mold test inside and the levels are off the charts, but outside is even higher. That's just because, you know, it rained recently, the humidity was up. So often for a couple of hours, it's down because the mold gets, the mold spores get cleaned away from the rain, but then it spikes massively. Like if it's humid, it's moldy for sure. And not just if it's humid, but it's naturally occurring. But lucky outside, we have the sun with the most powerful UV rays, and we have wind, which creates hydroxyl radicals. So nature knows how to deal with mold and allergens very effectively. It's when we leave all that outside indoors that these things become big problems for us, because, you know, we're plants, humans, pets, we're supposed to be outside breathing fresh air. And then when we lock ourselves in our little homes, these organic materials aren't happy about it, and they wreak havoc on us. So the aerosol test is typically going to be leaning towards a false negative. So a really thorough mold practitioner is going to do a multitude of tests. But when I would go into, like when me and Ryan would go into someone's house in Phoenix, he was there 9 or 10 hours. He's like the most thorough guy ever. But the funny thing is, within 15 minutes, we could have left already. Like once you've been in hundreds or thousands of homes, you're just there to leave no stone unturned and to like give a thorough presentation and show the homeowner everything. But you instantly can, I can go into a home. I know what the mold level is. I know what the carbon dioxide level is. I'm just kind of calibrated because I've calibrated my body and my sensors to these things. So I know what it smells like. I know what it feels like. Like I literally, I'm holding a CO2 sensor right now. I travel with this thing everywhere I go. It's 664 in here right now, which is excellent. Outdoors, 400. Once you start going over 1,000, that's when the brain fog and the fatigue and everything kicks in.
So would you use that if somebody has a gas stove or no?
No, this is carbon dioxide.
Oh, it's carbon dioxide. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
But like in my car, wow. So if I don't have doors and windows open, even if recycle mode's not on, within 10 or 15 minutes, my carbon dioxide detector is usually at 1500 to 2000.
No way.
So people wonder, especially if you're, if it's hot or cold out, typically whether it's air conditioning or you're cranking the heat, you know, you got your recirculation, the recirculate function is on in the car. Then your CO2 will get to 3,000 or 4,000. So you're on a road trip, you know, you're driving up to the cottage, you're on a long road trip and you're tired. So you keep cracking your window open being like, I just need some cold to wake me up. It's like, no.
You need fresh air.
You need air because you're exhausted because you're breathing more carbon dioxide, like 7 times more than you're used to. So that's why I drive a pickup truck. I leave my sunroof tilted and my back thing cracked always.
Yeah.
And then my CO2 is always in check, because otherwise so if anyone wants to know what high CO2 feels like, it's the basic way of describing it is stuffy. So if anyone's ever like, I need to go outside and get a breath of fresh air, and you go outside, you're like,
Like a big sigh. That's better. Yeah.
That's because the carbon dioxide is way lower and you were just kind of starving yourself indoors. So I'll bring it back to the mold. So the naturopaths and health practitioners are trying to learn. They learn a few tests, and most of those tests are usually ERMIs and they're kind of false positive skewing. And then they refer you to the restoration guy and say, you know, we gotta get it all removed. I've seen a lot of people. There's a guy in Toronto. I can't remember his name right now. I'd be happy to fucking throw him under the bus, but I would be happy to, because I've helped multiple people who this guy goes into their home and he recommends that they gut the whole house. I've seen people who moved into a house. They've been living there for 4 or 5 months, brand new home. And he tests and he says, you know, there's airborne mold. So there's no physical visible mold that we can find. So he starts ripping up holes and gutting everything and trying to find a little bit of mold and gets very invasive. But I've never seen a home that didn't have airborne levels of mold. It's like, what are you going to do about it? So if you have physical black mold growing on your drywall, or you had a leak that you need to remediate, this is different. That is worthy of remediation. But you're not eating or drinking mold. The only way mold is making you sick is by breathing it in. And literally, if you test for outside, there can be 25,000 batiospores or ascospores or aspergillus penicillium. So whether that's a lack of training or just, I mean, it's a lot of money there too, because, you know, someone's paying hundreds of thousands of dollars, at least tens of thousands of dollars. They're gutting their home. They're ripping everything apart. They're moving into a little hotel room for 6 months. That's probably,
which is
moldier,
probably moldy.
moldier than the Absolutely. House they moved out of.
Yeah.
The only reason that when you do a clearance test, so when I would go and remediate actual mold from someone's house, you know, we conceal the area. We use 6 millimeter poly. We set up big negative air scrubbers that are like industrial air purifiers. We use antimicrobial. We double bag the mold. We get it out of the house. And then we go back and we do another air test to show that the mold levels are very low. Typically, the air scrubbers are turned off that morning. The reason the mold levels are so low in the home is because you had industrial air purifiers running all week. Even if we never removed the mold, the levels would have been super low. If you went back a week later, the mold's back. It's outside. It's everywhere. So I was very frustrated trying to, I was in the, you know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And if the nail is gutting people's homes. So, you know, usually it's either like people don't care about mold, they're not really paying attention, or it's like, let's gut everything. And there's much more of a happy medium. There's no need to be scared of mold. It's a lot more like pollen. It's an allergen. It impacts everybody differently. It's an organic, naturally occurring thing. And with awareness and education, you can deal with it in a very cost-effective, reasonable way. Just like your water, right? If your water is contaminated, do you dig another ditch and get a well? Or do you filter your water? Typically, you filter the water. Sometimes it's a time to mitigate the source. Other times you got to deal with the source. So that's why I was very happy to come to the other side, because as the air quality consultant or the restoration guy, I didn't have a vehicle for change. So I'm like, same thing. I would restore someone's home after a flood or a fire, and then the smoke blows back in and is contaminated again, which is why the genesis of Jasper was I wanted to create a product that was like an industrial air scrubber, the one that we would use for floods, fire, or mold, but with the beautiful aesthetic, super quiet, no Wi-Fi, no Bluetooth, no EMF. So it was coming from the place of being like a restoration guy. I'm like, we need something that's commercial grade, but it can't be loud and it can't be ugly or no one's going to use it. It has to be pretty and it has to be quiet. So it was that background in restoration that led me down this path, or I would have never ended up this way.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a great story. You're talking mostly about mold. Is that the main culprit in people's homes? Because, you know, I agree with you that mold is like the golden child right now. Everybody's talking about mold. Everybody's flipped out about it. Everybody's concerned.
Gold is gold. You said it yourself. Golden child.
Right? Exactly. But there's other things in our homes. There's other things you bring in that might be even worse. And, you know, I think that one of the first times people might become aware of this is, let's say, if you're having a child.
Yes.
And now you start reading about, off-gassing of textiles or off-gassing of mattresses or off-gassing of almost anything. And so how hard is it for people to avoid that stuff? Because how long does stuff off gas for? You know,
great question. And like you said before we started recording, when another thing that made you were reluctantly, there's an old nonstick pan lingering around the house somewhere.
Yeah,
that almost never gets used, but somebody used it and Jasper went crazy.
Yeah, and it didn't have any. It was empty. It was just being heated, and they forgot. Right. So they forgot to put anything in it. They turned on the burner and all of a sudden Jasper's blowing its stack. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, there's no food. And that, and it was actually a little bit like a smoke detector, because it told me that there was a burner lit under a pan.
So yeah, outside of mold is not the main culprit at all. It's one of many. I just touch on it because, like you said, everyone's talking about it. And my background was in mold, and that's why I was kind of qualified and educated to go down this path in the first place. But no, the average, for example, the average person who buys a Jasper is buying it for two reasons. Number one is because they want to improve their sleep. And number two, because they want to decrease allergy symptoms, regular seasonal allergy stuff. Now, how long do things off gas? It depends. Some things 3 months, some things 18 months. Now, when your home is being built, or when the crib is built, or the table, or the furniture, there's no part of that manufacturing process where they're like, hey, let's build this couch, table, crib, and let's off gas it for a year before we ship it to the customer. The day after it's built, it's on a boat. It's on its way to you. So often the furniture you buy, it's like, I mean, if only our food was so fresh. The furniture you buy is it's fresh.
So the glues, the adhesives, the varnishes, all that stuff.
Yeah, the MDF, the compressed woods, the paints, the dyes, all that kind of stuff. So babies' bedrooms are a very interesting one. People spend so much money and time worrying about baby proofing, about like baby's going to like jump out of the crib, and they put, you know, those EMF anklets on them to detect everything.
They do?
The most popular brand is called like Owlet, but they it's like an Aura ring.
My son's 24. It's been a long time.
It's an Aura ring for your baby's ankle. And once a parent puts one of these on, they can't live without it. It's like having AirPods or like filtered water or something. Like once they're used to monitoring their baby's biomarkers 24 hours a day. I think it's too much information personally.
No kidding.
But the... Yeah, all the stuff off gases. So that's a big one. Then you, of course, cooking is huge. So like when we get into tips, one of the big tips is I love cooking outdoors. We do it often. Not only do we barbecue often, but we actually have a jet boil camping grill that we take into our backyard and we take it to the park. So we cook outside very often. That's like and it's fun. The kids are outside. It's like a little picnic. So it's one of those things that's like feels like a community, fun family thing. But also has the added benefit of not off-gassing and cooking indoors. So, cooking is big. Cleaning products are big. Off-gassing is super big. And everything in your home that's organic or porous, a simple way to understand it is anything that would get wet by water also would absorb air. So if you have like a sealed granite countertop and you put water on it, it's not absorbing into the granite. No. You can just wipe it up. So, you know, you don't have to worry about mold, VOCs, anything. You just wipe it and the surface is clean. It's sealed rock. However, a couch, a carpet, clothing, pillows, insulation, these things are porous. So when you have indoor pollution or outdoor pollutions that come inside, it gets absorbed into that material and it doesn't get out unless you have like a HEPA vacuum and you detox it. So that's why I'm such a huge advocate of filtering your air throughout your whole home, because then you don't have dust anymore. Like my house pretty much has no dust ever, because dust is a symptom of poor air. If you have really clean air, you shouldn't have much dust. And you won't be getting all those pollens and pollutants and off-gassing absorbing into all of the porous materials in your home. So this is not like a mold situation. Cause if you're trying to find the mold, you'll be playing whack-a-mold forever. And like, it's like that.
Nice.
So you want that nice balance of mitigating sources by whether it's the Branch Basics or the Primally Pure or, and Branch Basics doesn't typically set stuff off. And I'm sure there's a lot of other good products as well, but you know, despite the fact that we live in a toxic world, we also live in a world where there is consumer demand and businesses who are creating great products.
Yeah, you have options for sure.
It's not that expensive and to make these healthier choices. It's when you're getting like overkill and you feel like you have to biohack everything and have two cold plunges a day and a sauna and three meditation sessions and red light therapy. And like, I'm more of an addition by subtraction guy. So I like a lot of those things, but I think water and air are beautiful and perfect as they come. And it's more about removing the toxins out of them. And it's going back to basics with your cleaning stuff, as opposed to needing 50 supplements and detox protocols. Not to say there's not a really great time and place for all that kind of stuff, but I think the foundation is like, let's start from an elimination process and a source mitigation and then build on that. So when it comes to the indoor environment, it's everything from the drywall, the paints, the way the home is constructed. It's not the same way I said the factory is not off-gassing stuff. Neither is the company that makes drywall or insulation. Mm-hmm. So if someone has an opportunity when they buy a home to like leave the windows open and let it breathe, or when you get baby's nursery ready, leave the windows open for a couple months before baby moves in. And another big one, I'm not sure how old most of your listeners are, but I'm sure a bunch of them have babies or grandkids. So a big one in there is, it's not a, something Jasper will fix. It's another situation for the, a source mitigation issue. It's those diaper pails in babies' nurseries. So when my baby, she's four now, but when Aria was a newborn baby, my wife, Rachel, she was putting the pooey diapers in the pail. And I'm going in there. It was our first kid. I'm like, yo, it really smells like poo in here. And air quality rule number one. If it smells like poo, it is poo. What the thing that you smell is the thing that you are breathing. Very simple. If it smells like garbage, you're not just smelling the garbage 20 feet away. You are inhaling the garbage 20 feet away. Whoa. So, yeah, sorry.
Okay. No, well, it's even like mold. Like, not to go back to mold, but anyway, finish with the diaper pail story. I'll tell you my story after that. Yeah.
So she was, you know, using that diaper pail. And I think everybody does. And I was like, Rach, it smells like poo. If you test the air in a baby's nursery, the bacteria levels airborne are off the charts, of course, because there's poo there. Yeah. So I was like, I really think, can you maybe please just take the diapers outside? And she was like, easy for you to say, you know, I'm managing the house and I'm doing the baby stuff. She's like, you do it. And, you know, to her defense, she's really the primary parent at this still is. Yeah. And I was like, fine. Rite of passage. Tonight, diaper pail goes in our bedroom. So we see what it feels like. By the way, I'm going to sleep on the couch tonight. But and she was like, no, I'm not sleeping with those pooey diapers in our room. Are you kidding me? It stinks like poo. And then it instantly clicked for her. She was like, oh, wow. If I wouldn't sleep with those pooey diapers, like, how can we let Aria do it? And you know, those things are not airtight. And the average adult is breathing, let's say, 15 to 20,000 times a day. The average baby is breathing 60,000 times per day. Yeah. Little baby lungs, high respiratory rate, non-mature immune system, filtration not yet dialed in. So little poor, you know, we're stressing out about our nap schedules and our sleep schedules and our rocking the baby and all of these crazy things. But our baby sleeps in a bacteria room filled with poo.
With a diaper pail.
With a diaper pail. God. So anyone listening out there that's got one of those diaper pails, get rid of it.
At least put it in the bathroom. If you're going to put it anywhere, don't put it somewhere with somebody sleeping.
So ours, the poo goes right outside. But even the pee diapers, we put it in the bathroom. We run our bathroom fan 24 hours a day. Now, whenever I talk about this, people jump in the comments and they say you should never leave your bathroom fan on continuously because they say it could start a fire and they say that it's pulling air through all the cracks and crevices from other parts of the house. Personally, I think this is the craziest thing I've ever heard because no matter what, there's airflow in your home. Where do you think all of the airflow is coming from when you use fans, when you use filters, when you pull air, when you exhaust, when you vent? Like, first of all, you're venting that air out. Now, in terms of a fire, in years of restoration, air quality consulting, home inspecting and construction, I've never heard of or seen a bathroom fan fire. And way before it would be a fire, you would smell it. Has someone, the Jasper is on 24 hours a day. Has the manufacturer of a fan, the manufacturer's recommendation is to leave it on 24 hours a day. So I am not at all concerned. I would say
fire. Yeah.
And when you look it up, I think there's 200 potential fires a year in America. So you're more likely to get hit by lightning. So when it's my baby is breathing poo 24 hours a day, or we have a chance of getting hit by lightning of a fire in the house, everything is trade-offs and risks. I personally am not telling people what to do, but I am very comfortable leaving my bathroom fan on 24 hours a day or my laundry room fan on 24 hours a day. And I have 5 air quality sensors in my home and my air quality is amazing. So I don't know where that story came from, but I'm going to shout back about that more often because I personally think that is nonsense.
Okay. So pooey diapers outside, pee-pee diapers in the bathroom with the fan running at all times. Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. And just take it out fairly regularly. Way less concerned about the pee than the poo, though.
So let's talk a little bit. You know, there's people love to put down air filters.
Do they?
They love it. Oh, yeah. No, there was a whole Consumer Report thing where they sent out a couple of reporters and they bought 5 different air filters. And do they do anything? And, you know, I don't know that I watched the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure that they were going to say that most of them didn't. Now, to be fair, I think they sent them out to Best Buy and they all bought like, you know, they bought a range of prices. But a little bit like what you said something earlier about, what was it that you were talking about? Cheap. Oh yeah. The humidifiers. Like a cheap humidifier is ultimately going to do more harm than good. You're probably better off without it than you are with it if it's not a good quality one. Do you want to talk about a little bit about what people should be looking for in an air filter for their home? Because I think there's a lot of confusion during that period that we went through a few years ago with that infamous little itty bitty virus that was making everybody sick one way or another. There was a lot of talk about air filtration and was it any good and was it effective and could it help? Like what is a good air filter and what can a good air filter do and not do for you?
Yeah. So, I think I actually might know about that Consumer Reports thing. And I'll tell you my favorite feedback that anybody. So when we survey people who buy Jaspers, 60% of them already own another air purifier. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's their first one. They've tried them before. My favorite feedback that we constantly get is I've owned dozens of air purifiers in my life. And I just wasn't sure if any of them were ever working. And then they say, Jasper is the first air purifier I've ever had. There's no debate if it works or not.
Yeah, it gives you feedback.
I see it. I feel it. It is obvious. Yeah. It's one of those things, like the best analogy that I have for your average consumer grade air purifier is their kettles. And if you try to heat your bathtub with a kettle, it doesn't work because the water is cooling down faster than you heat it up. So most air purifiers are made by these giant companies who make 100 different products, right, which is why we only make one product. We don't do water filters, diffusers. We don't do any of that stuff. We only make one model because if you're making 100 things, how good could they really be? So when they are looking at it, you know, a lot, the world nowadays likes to think in Amazon filter boxes. So they go on Amazon, they set the price filter to cheap, you know, $49 to $199. And then they say large room or small room. And if only it was that simple. And they like to say the worst thing ever is when people say, how many square feet does an air purifier cover?
Yeah.
It can't cover square feet. It is not a Roomba. It is dealing with air. Do you have 8-foot ceilings or do you have 16-foot vaulted ceilings? Because if you do, that's twice the cubic volume of air. Do you have an HVAC system or baseboard heaters? Because if you have an HVAC system, you're mixing the air throughout the home. It's going to cover more area. Do you have an open concept layout or a bunch of different small rooms? Because if you have a bunch of rooms, it's going to also cover less square foot. Also, no one ever says, there's no standard. When someone says it covers 500 square feet or 1,000 square feet, do you mean it cleans the air 5% or 90%? No one talks about that part. So when you see most air purifiers, you're going to see almost every air purifier is going to say, we filter the air 99.97% down to 0.3 microns. That's the HEPA standard. Okay. And all that means is per pass. So for each time the air flows through the filter, that's how much it's capturing. But let's say we have an air purifier the size of a water bottle. It's still going to be 99.97% per pass, but how much air is it actually moving? For example, space heater, very effective for a small bedroom or a closet.
Yeah.
Try to heat your whole house with a space heater. It's going to barely dent it. And heating air, that's, you're trying to change the air. So an air purifier, a humidifier, a vent, these are all just tools to manipulate air quality. There's five factors of air quality: temperature, relative humidity, VOC, PM 2.5, and CO2. Those are the primary five factors of indoor air quality, IAQ. So most air purifiers, when someone's trying to buy a $199 air purifier, it's like anything in your house. If you go and buy a bed for $200, it's going to hurt your back. It's going to suck. Probably better off sleeping on the floor. Get a yoga mat. So because my background happened, I wasn't like a big product company making 100 products. I was using air scrubbers, which is the same thing. So to say an air purifier doesn't work would be to say mold removal doesn't work. Because how do we clean up for a flood, a fire, a mold situation, a surgical operating room, the NASA space station? With filtration. Filtration works really well. Water filters, air filters, they work very similar. They capture stuff. So if the air filter is way too small, it's not very effective, because that's because you're using a kettle to heat the bathtub. So that's kind of like some background and analogy and frame setting on why most air purifiers don't work. And then
part of what you're saying is size does matter when it comes to an air filter, like big time.
Big time.
Right?
Big
so
time.
Because you mentioned you make one size, one model of Jasper. The good news is you made it aesthetically very, it's very sleek. So it's very, I stuck it in a corner in my living room. You barely even know it's there. It's, you just see the light more than anything. But the size of that filter is almost the whole size of that machine.
And if you take the filter out, our filter is bigger than most air purifiers.
Yeah.
Like our filter also weighs 4.5 pounds. The average filter is 0.1 to 0.5 pounds. There's nothing there.
Density. Yeah.
There's density, there's height, there's surface area. Mm-hmm. Also, we use a cylindrical design, not just one of those flat ones like a furnace filter, because the surface area is so much greater with a cylindrical design. So that's a really, really, really big deal. So what should someone look like for an air purifier? Definitely size. So it was very simple, because when I created the Jasper, I just looked at the air purifier market. I said, what annoys me and what can we do about it? So what annoyed me was airflow, size. They don't move much air. So not to pick on Dyson, because it's a beautiful looking product, but Dyson on full speed is about 87 CFM. It's cubic feet per minute. That's how much airflow is moving. Jasper is about 420, 430 CFM. Wow. So it's almost 5X, about 5X. Jasper on fan speed 1 is a little bit over 100 CFM. So Jasper on that silent setting that you're used to moves more air than most little air purifiers on that loud full speed.
Wow.
It's like if you've ever seen those big ass fans at like the gym or at the airport or wherever, you don't hear those things. And they move so much air because of their size. It's like your car, first gear, it's super loud. Sixth gear, you don't hear the motor, because you're in sixth gear. It's less RPMs, less rotations per minute, because it's a larger gear. So when you have a bigger fan, it can be a lot quieter and move more air. So the number one thing by far is not HEPA. It's not ALPA. It's not the specifics of the filter. It's how much air are we moving? So that's size. Then that takes me to point number two. This is kind of a personal matter, but I think it's important. I hate that most air purifiers are made out of plastic, because when you manufacture plastic, when you manufacture 1 ton of plastic created, puts 3 tons of carbon into the atmosphere. Also, plastic is not very high quality. So your plastic air purifier, most companies have like a 1 year warranty. We have a lifetime warranty. Jasper is built to last about 30 years. That's why we can do a lifetime warranty, because we don't have very many warranty claims, because we've designed it to be industrial grade and run continuously for decades.
What's Jasper made of?
Cold rolled steel.
Oh, that's why it was so heavy.
It's only 27 pounds.
No, I know, but it's solid,
substantial.
You know? Yeah. It's not like you can't lift it, but it's just, it has heft.
So another factor that I think is important. So it's like, okay, I got this little plastic air purifier in my house and I polluted outside more than I've cleaned inside. So it's like if everyone in the world bought 5 plastic air purifiers, we would actually be in a worse place than a better place. Mm-hmm. So I like things that last a long time. My favorite, you know, instead of, you know, the best way to minimize consumption is to buy high quality goods that last a long time.
Sure.
So you have size, you have materials, mm-hmm. then you have the design. So a lot of air purifiers take in air from one side and they blow it out the other side. Jasper takes in air from 360 degrees and blows it out up the top. Why? This was a big deal during COVID, and we sold to thousands of doctors and dentists. The reason why they had to buy Jasper or something similar was because anything that blows forward, it kicks up dust and it aerosolizes droplets. Whereas right. Jasper is designed to put the air up into the breathing zone. Mm-hmm. So the polluted particles are typically heavier. So they flow into the bottom of the Jasper. But because of also that 360 degree design, you can put it in the corner. You can put it against the wall. For example, Air Doctor, and I'm not picking on them either, but they say like literally, they say that you have to put the Air Doctor a foot from all walls. So literally, if you take a foot from all sides, it's sticking in the middle of your room.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an eyesore. It's a bit of a huge
tripping hazard.
Tripping hazard, visual yeah. hazard. It's like, yo, I just wanted you to clean my air. I didn't need you to hang out in the middle of my room all the time with that shiny, bright white plastic and a massive logo. So I like minimalistic, sleek design that just yeah. blends seamlessly into your home. Like, I care about how things look in my house. You know, you could buy a $29 kettle from Walmart, still heats the water, or you could buy an $80 one, you know, that looks beautiful on your countertop that you have to look at every single day. Another big factor was the quality of the sensors. So we used commercial grade sensors. So if this was 10 years ago, the sensors alone would have been thousands of dollars. Because my background was in air quality consulting and testing, I knew a thing or two about high quality sensors, which is why Jasper is very responsive to everything.
Oh, and yeah.
Even wildfire smoke in Ontario last summer, your Jasper would have been at a 60 plus for that whole time last year in June.
Really?
From the fires up in Quebec and Northern Ontario.
Yeah, no, they were here.
And so the sensors matters. And then also just being transparent. If you mm-hmm. have a sensor, show what is in the air in real time, because that teaches people what might be toxic in their environment and allows them to start making better choices. Like if it's really polluted outside or the wildfire smoke's there, or if you even barbecue like 15 feet off your back deck or something, Jasper's mm-hmm. going to notice and go crazy just in that quick second when you open and close the door. So yeah. it really enhances and calibrates like a sixth sense that will detect things before, you know, Jasper's knows before ours does.
Yeah.
Will
it detect smoke? I know it's not a smoke detector. But
oh, yeah. It won't detect carbon monoxide, but it will detect the particulate in the smoke. There's far too much liability to be a CO detector. They have to be mounted, hardwired, batteries, and all that stuff.
Yeah, carbon monoxide is a whole different.
But yeah, smoke, literally, Jasper's, it's designed to crush wildfire smoke and mold. And because we over-engineered it, it was originally designed for wildfire smoke. So because it was so over-engineered, that's why it was perfect for COVID, and it's even better for, you know, allergens and sleep quality. So those big design, just smart mode, it kind of works by itself. But I would say size, material, and design, and then, of course, lifetime warranty is a huge deal. So
That's massive.
Today, I'm actually going to do a post on it. I know you had some annoying big company situations today, too. So did I. I spent an hour on the phone with Apple today. And I buy iPhones because of how awesome Apple Care is. We call Jasper, our warranty's called Jasper Care because of how much historically I respected Apple's thing. So my iPhone broke. I sent it in for an express replacement. So they send me a new one. They gave me a FedEx shipping label. I drop it off at FedEx. They hold like a $1,000 security deposit until they get the old one back. It's been a month. They still got the $1,000. I'm like, what's going on, guys? I contact them. They go, first it was 20 minutes of live chat, then a 40-minute phone call. I still don't have my money back. They're like, we see that you dropped off the Jasper, the iPhone with FedEx, but it's stuck in Travis City, whatever, California. So unfortunately, can you call FedEx to see where it is? I'm like, what? I go, first of all, it's your account. They won't even speak to me. You see, FedEx was your carrier. I did everything you asked me to. Like, give me the refund and figure it out with FedEx. Nope. So it was a 40-minute phone call. They're doing an investigation. They'll get back to me next week. So literally, I buy all these products with great warranties, and I got so tainted that I never even buy the extended warranties anymore. So we merged the filter replacement with the lifetime warranty. So let's say your Jasper breaks. It's running on high, or it won't turn on, or the sensor's going crazy, which does happen 1 in 100 times. So what would happen is you would contact us. We would send a brand new Jasper to your house right away. You would take the new Jasper out of the box. You would put the old Jasper in the box. We would give you a prepaid shipping label with UPS, and we would schedule UPS to pick it up at 9 a.m. the next day. Because why should you have to go to the post office and lug this thing around? It's our fault that the Jasper broke. So internally, by having this crazy warranty where we put our money where our mouth is, the best way to not have customer support problems is to make a great product. Yeah. So we cover shipping both ways. Basically, our commitment to the customer is for a little bit over $1 a day. Once someone owns a Jasper, they get clean air for life. Mm-hmm. And it feels so good giving someone the service that I wish we had. Yeah. And I don't know if you know this, but when we launched, Jasper was $19.75. It was $2,000.
Was it really? So you've actually dropped the price?
Yeah. So it was $2,000 because we were selling to doctors and dentists when we launched in 2020. Our shipping costs alone were over $500 when crazy. Our costs were wild back then. You know when everyone's prices were going crazy? So ours did too. But guess what? Our costs have been coming down. So we lowered our price. In 2023, we lowered our price down to $13.99. And then in 2024, we lowered it down to $9.99. Because I'm a huge deflation advocate. So everybody raised their prices during COVID, but no one's bringing them back down.
No.
What's up with that? So I don't want to live in a world where everybody's raising prices forever and avocados are $17. Yeah. So I'm excited that I'm in a position where I get to price a product. So I'm excited. I want to make clean air as affordable as possible. Our filters, the only reason we haven't been able to get the filter price down is because it's bundled with the lifetime warranty and because our filters are so high quality and so substantial. But our goal is to constantly, over the years, eventually get filter pricing down, and technology should be deflationary. It's like, how crazy is this? Our food costs more now than it did 20 years ago. When back then you had 100 farmers and now you have 3. Mm-hmm. And how is the price of eggs going up? The chicken is not raising her prices for her eggs. So what's going on? So I really feel like empowered to be in a position. So yeah, we've lowered the price dramatically, and we've gone from selling to doctors and dentists to serving people who want to sleep better, breathe better, live better, not have allergies. And excessive elite pricing is not the way to get the job done.
Yeah. No, you know, it's what's interesting to me is the whole, you know, Maytag used to have this line, and maybe, I mean, definitely I will show my age here, but the old Maytag appliance ad campaign was that the Maytag repairman was the loneliest guy because he never had anything to do. It was the best ad campaign, right?
I love that.
Have you noticed that ad campaign doesn't exist anymore? And there's an appliance repair guy. I brought in a really old vacuum cleaner once, and he's like, you need to fix that. I'm like, what are you talking about? I need a fancy, new, shiny, blah, blah, blah. He goes, dude, they do not, literally, they don't make them like this anymore. They're making appliances.
Planned obsolescence.
That's exactly where I was going with this. Like, the whole world of electronics has moved into a planned obsolescence model, including your and my beloved iPhones, right? What you've done is the exact opposite. Like, I could leave my Jasper to my son when I die, I guess part of his inheritance. Like, it's got that kind of a life. And I know that it's a lot of money to some people, but I think that making the investment once at the end of the day is going to save you money. Like, it was I got so sick of buying blenders that lasted 2 years and ended up in the garbage. I finally bit
Vitamix?
Yeah, I finally bought a Vitamix, and I've had it for like over 10 years, and the thing still works.
It's the perfect analogy. It's the perfect analogy. And like the average bedroom, when we test the average bedroom, there's 800,000 particles floating around from all the stuff we talked about. And when you filter your air, it's typically reduced by 95% in an hour. And, you know, so I kind of think of Jasper like Sonos. So back in the day, you'd put one giant speaker in the middle of your house and it would either be way too loud in that room and you couldn't hear it anywhere else. So you'd crank it and then you'd feel the bass everywhere else. And then along came Sonos and these decentralized home speakers. So now you can have perfect volume in every room. So most people now, like in the, on our, I'll get into that, that after, but a lot of people now, like if you think about a whole home water filter system, it's $7,500, 10 grand easy. To get four Jaspers is like $2,600, $2,800. So when you think about it like an air purifier, it's expensive. But if you think about it as a whole home decentralized filtration system, and it's not like water. Water comes in through one pipe. So if you want to filter it at the tap, filter it at the fridge, filter it at the shower, filter it at the water main, it's easy. Air is sneaky. It comes in through your doors, your windows, your cracks, your vents, your crevices, your attic, all of that. So you need to have a decentralized filtration strategy. So like, you know, 20 under $3,000 for a whole home air filtration system where you're breathing 95% cleaner air, 95% of the time when you're at home, doesn't sound so expensive anymore. And then our commitment to people is it will be the last one they ever buy.
Yeah. Well, that, and that's a big thing. So tell me this, do you need one? If you, so I live in a four story home. Do I need one on every floor? Cause it's not particularly huge, the house, but it's,
What's your heating source? Is it a furnace? Do you have baseboards, heat pumps?
No, I have a central.
Okay. So central air mixes the air. So basically, let's say you put a Jasper in your bedroom. That bedroom's going to, let's say, have 95%+ filtered air, but your whole home is going to have like 20% filtered air because the furnace is mixing the air. Now, let's say you put a Jasper in second bedroom. Now, both bedrooms are going to have 90% filtered air and the whole home everywhere is going to be like 40% cleaner air. And then let's say you put one in your living room in your common area. So now your kitchen living room area is going to have 80 or 90% filtered air. So each unit, it's additive to the whole home situation. So good table stakes is one Jasper in your bedroom. I like mine on fan speed 2 or 3 with a little bit of white noise. One step up from that is one in your bedroom and one in your kitchen area to handle those cooking particles. And most range hoods don't do anything. Yeah, people should actually, everybody should test their range hood. Two quick tests. Put a tissue to your range hood. See if it pulls. If it doesn't pull, it's not working. And make sure it vents outside. In Toronto and a lot of places, a lot of bathroom fans and range hoods vent into your attic, which then creates an attic mold problem. So you want to make sure they're venting into the attic and then outside. And you want that range hood to work. And when you're, if you're boiling anything, always use the back burner, not the front burner. Because the front burner, the range hood doesn't capture it very good. So to answer the question, one in the bedroom is like, you spend a third of your life there in your sleep recovery. You know, one, you're trying to rest, recover, heal. You definitely want to be filtering the air when you sleep. From there, because now one third of your life, we're going to be dialed in. And a lot of people who suffer from seasonal allergies, their allergies completely go away when they start filtering their air at night. Because if you don't, you're being beat down 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So the pollen, the allergens, the mold, the dust mites, all that stuff, it's 24 hours a day. So while you're trying to rest and recover and heal, you're getting attacked by all those allergens. Now, human body, super resilient. So if you turn your bedroom into a clean air sanctuary, not only does your sleep scores go, I've seen people's aura scores go from a 60 to a 90 instantly by all of a sudden having filtered air, like quantifiably. And then all of a sudden their seasonal allergies are gone because we can tolerate a little bit of allergens. We just can't take it 24 hours a day. So good is one in the bedroom. Better is one in the bedroom and one in the kitchen area. And best would be one in every bedroom where someone's sleeping and one in the kitchen living room area. And then if someone has like a home gym or a home office, you know, basically you want clean air where you're spending time and you want it where it can filter the most contaminants. So that's where bedrooms and kitchen is like the ultimate 80-20 situation of filtered air.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. I mean, I have mine in my living room, which is like we have an open concept main floor and it's not terribly big. I think it's probably doing a really good job for the kitchen. Well, and I know
so when
this,
when you cook,
when I cook, it takes no time for it to pick it up.
So here's the fun part. So I did an experiment recently. We cooked one egg for just a few minutes. Jasper went up from a 5 to 150. And then in about 22, 23 minutes, back to excellent. Mm-hmm. Actually, an even better example is that really easy to understand is a match in a bathroom. So if we take a match, match is a really good tool that we use in the air quality industry for because it's a fine particulate, PM 2.5, the same as all the other harmful stuff. So if we light a match in a bathroom, and anybody out there with a Jasper can try this experiment anytime, put your Jasper on smart mode, light a match. You're going to see, or if someone's vaporizing, take a puff. They're going to see in about, it's going to go crazy red. In 1 minute or less, you're going to be back to excellent. Now, if you put an air quality sensor in that bathroom, no Jasper, how long does it take to get back to baseline? About 6 hours. Because wow. If you're not filtering your air, it just sits there. It's just dormant. Yeah. And like air is very much like water. So it's like what water is to fish, air is to people. We literally live in it. So if you take a bathtub and you go and take some red food coloring and you drop a few little droplets in there, it's like, does the red drop stay? No. It instantly equally disperses around all of the water and all of the water becomes slightly contaminated, which is why when you cook, you smell bacon in the whole house, which means every little particle of air in the entire home, all the cubic volume it mixes just like water. So the way you see water currents in the ocean or clouds moving, air is the exact same thing in your home. So within minutes, if someone's cooking in a bedroom and baby's upstairs, Jasper is going to go. So you have the one Jasper, but if you had one in your bedroom and you start cooking, the one in your bedroom is going to go just as crazy as the one in your kitchen because your air is being mixed by the HVAC system.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get one for my kid. His bedroom is closer to the kitchen than mine is. He's number two. I'll get number three for my room.
And
we'll move it in stages.
You have any more questions at all?
No, I think I'm good. I mean, I think that, you know, hopefully people's takeaway from this and I want to, hopefully the takeaway is not to panic. The takeaway is do what you can to, first of all, mitigate what's coming into your home. So do a cleanup of your cleaning supplies of, you know, open the windows every once in a while. Although if you live in a big city like me, some days that could be worse than keeping them closed. You know, you're trading one off for the other. And I would think that opening windows on a regular basis on a day when it's not too smoggy and muggy and whatever is probably a good idea just to get.
And nighttime's better because restaurants aren't cooking.
There's
no
less,
one's doing
less
renovations.
Around.
Cars aren't driving. So perfect. After hours is a better time to crack windows for sure.
Great.
I'm glad you actually, just to add to that point of like not panicking. Mm-hmm. The coolest thing here is our human bodies are so amazing and they're so resilient. And yeah. It's both a blessing and a curse that we spend 95% of our time indoors. It's a curse because that's way too much time. But it's a blessing because we have the opportunity to control that one environment and really dial it in and make it our healthy, clean air sanctuary. Filtered water, clean air, good lighting. Like we control our own homes, our own bedrooms. So you dial it in once and then it's dialed in. And like the same way that I mentioned, I can smell mold in a home and detect it. You know, if we both go outside, if you take five people, it's a really fun experiment just to show people this. If you take five friends outside and you tell everybody, guess what the temperature is right now? Everybody write it on a piece of paper and then we all flip it over at the same time. Typically, especially in Celsius, but both, everyone's usually within a few degrees of each other. How? Mm-hmm. How? It's because you have temperature sensors in your skin.
Yeah.
And because you check the weather every day, you've calibrated that temperature sensor. If you go in a desert versus a rainforest, your body knows what dry and what humid feels like because you have relative humidity sensors in your skin.
Yeah.
And you have way more sensors than even that. So, you know, I've taught my CO2 sensors are now calibrated.
Interesting.
So I was recently at a kava bar here in Austin, and my friend Mike, he always knows what he put me on the spot. So I'm like 950. And then I pull out my CO2 detector and it was like 975. And they're like,
come
what
on.
The heck? Yeah, I could tell. Because wow. I know by the ease of breath. And, you know, humans are so enamored by like the shark or the bear that smells the little bit of blood miles away. But give yourself some credit too. Like, you can smell the bacon across the house. If I blindfold you and I put a pile of garbage in the corner, you can find it with your eyes blindfolded because you can smell through air currents too. So mm-hmm. the coolest thing is when someone just becomes aware of air. The takeaway today is not spend a ton of money and rip everything up and go all crazy like that, but it's the way you already, and I love talking to audiences like yours because they're already super health conscious and health aware mm-hmm. and all the same stuff. If you filtered your water and if you prefer the organic vegetables and the grass-fed beef, you already believe that you don't want to get the bad stuff in you. And air is no different. So there's one downside I would say to having a Jasper that's really, really annoying. It turns you into an air snob.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, when you go to hotels, you're like, oh no. Like when we used to do trials for people in Toronto, and we would let someone borrow a Jasper for the week and then we would take it back, they would have panic attacks, especially yeah. in the bedroom. Because it's like when you grow up, you were drinking, you just called it water. There was no mm-hmm. filtered water. Mm-hmm. And then when you think back, you're like, that hose water did kind of taste a little plasticky.
Wow. I mean, I can taste tap water.
So you could taste it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So once you start drinking filtered water, now you know what tap water tastes like. So you make the informed choice when you go out. They're like, would you like tap water? You're like, do you have filtered water? And if you added that up in the course of the year, you spend $1,000 or $2,000 a year on bottled water too. It's just, you don't notice it because it's just a little bit here and there. But like by being aware of your air and realizing that you eat 2 pounds of food, you drink 2 liters of water, you breathe 15,000 liters of air per day, depending on the person, it's between 10 and 20. Like, it's a big deal. And just by being aware of it, you know, when you go to a restaurant and it stinks and it's heavy, sit on the patio. When you go to someone's house and it smells gross, go outside. Mm-hmm. If you live in a place with great air, open your window. And if you can't afford a Jasper, but you could still afford, you know, something cheaper, something is better than nothing. The trade-off is usually they're ugly and they're loud.
Have to change them, and you'll have to change them more often.
Replace them every couple years, change the filters, vacuum the filters. You should never vacuum a filter because when you vacuum a filter, you damage the pleats.
Yeah.
And once you've damaged the pleats, it's not HEPA anymore. What I wanted to say for your audience. So this podcast is coming out August 23rd.
Yep.
So, for the first week, actually, we'll just make it 8 days to August 31st. For your most like loyal listeners that listen within the first week, what we're going to do is we're going to use code NAT, N-A-T, and it'll be 20% off. So what that means is a Jasper would be $7.99. Wow. But also on our website, if somebody buys two, it's already 10% off. Three, 15% off. Four, 20% off. It's not one or the other. Our discounts will combine. So let's say somebody buys four. It's $5.99 each. So but I don't want anybody to ever feel rushed or pressured or anything like that. So for the first week, it's going to be like the biggest deal ever. We don't do any discounts at Jasper. You won't see this deal anywhere else. And we don't do crazy Facebook ads and Google ads. So I can come in and have educated conversations with educated audiences and just no bullshit and give people the best price. And, so that our discounts combined after that first 8 days. So after August 31, starting September 1, the discount code NAT will stay up forever and it will always be 10% after that. So for the first 8 days, August 23rd to August 31st, for those who want to take advantage and have an air purification system, whether that's one or two or three or four in your home, one is good, more is better. It will be between $5.99 and $7.99, which is like not that much more than a Best Buy, Home Depot situation. So
that's a good deal. That's a great deal.
So that is there for anyone who's listening that wants to take advantage of that. And if not, just be more aware of your air. When you check the weather tomorrow and you look at the temperature and you look at the clouds, Google air quality and then your city as well. Yeah. Temperature, even if it's a little bit cold and a little bit cloudy, if the air quality is beautiful, it's a good time to go outside, go for a run, go for a walk. But on the other side of that, if it's a really polluted day outside, then you may want to stay inside and breathe that Jasper air. So anyway, if anybody has follow-up questions, you know, they can hit us up on Instagram. We are an open book, and we are here to help, and we are here to educate. And for those who feel called, we're here to help you guys.
Amazing. So it's jasper.com. Jasper.
Jasper.co.
.co. Sorry. No M and no E.
jasper.co. And the code is NAT, N-A-T.
And on Instagram, you're Jasper. Just Jasper?
Jasper Co. Just like the website.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Code NAT.
Code NAT. Code NAT. All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Have a great evening.
It's been awesome.
And thanks for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hope you guys learned something today. See y'all.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I'd love to invite you to sign up for my newsletter. Each week, I share my biggest key takeaways from that week's podcast episode, giving you insight into how to take action on what you learned in the interview. Plus, I share the biohacks I'm loving that week and why, as well as facts and tips about peptides for longevity. To join the newsletter, head over to natalieknittem.com/newsletter to get access now or find the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for your continued support and for tuning in to today's episode. I wish you all the best this week in biohacking your superhuman performance.